We're going to change a little bit in that we're not going to be teaching out of the book of Romans this morning. I thought it would be good for us to look at Matthew chapter 1, which has to do with the birth of Jesus Christ because of what people are thinking about at this time of the year. It is a shame that the birth of Jesus Christ has been commercialized and distorted, and that many practices that are observed in this season of the year are not Christian. Much of it is pagan. But that still does not take away from the fact that Jesus Christ came, that He was born of a Virgin Mary, and that He came for a particular purpose. And there's nothing wrong with us remembering the birth of Jesus Christ. And so I thought it would be good for us to just read Matthew chapter 1, verses 18 through 25, and then pick up on a particular verse, verse 21, for our thoughts this morning. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When as His mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man, and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take thee unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Then Joseph, being raised from his sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and knew her not till she brought forth her firstborn son, and she called his name Jesus. Jesus Christ is God. And when He came, His name was Emmanuel. It was God with us. But we see in verse 21, it says, And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. The phrase, his people, I believe is significant. There is a definite article, the, before people. And it says, He shall save the people of Himself from their sins. And I'd like to focus in on a little bit on what it means to be His people. I was thinking of the passage in Matthew chapter 2 where He was born King of the Jews. The Jews to whom Jesus ruled over or would rule over are saved Jews, not lost Jews. Jesus was not King of the lost. He is the King of saved. He is the King of kings and the Lord of lords. And so therefore, when we're talking about His people, or the people of Himself, we're not talking about lost people, even though the word saved is found in this verse. And I want to explain to you what is significant about it, and also there's more to this verse than what we have commonly looked at. And I think you'll enjoy it as we work our way through this verse. In John 1, 10 and 11, He was in the world through the virgin birth of the Lord Jesus, or of the Virgin Mary. And the world was made by Him, and the world knew Him not. He came into His own, and His own received Him not. I believe the expression "his own" is a reference to those that are saved, not lost. And whether the world means Israel or not, it's irrelevant. The point is this. If it is Israel, the Jews didn't know who he was because they really weren't looking for their Messiah. They were looking to continue on as things had been for, I guess, 400 years, because there was really no prophet for about 400 years. But anyway, he came into his own, and his own received him not. I believe this is a reference to saved Jews. In Luke chapter 2, verses 10 and 11, it says, "And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people." And there is a definite article, "the," before "people." Let me just stop here just a minute and emphasize or bring to your attention the fact that the definite article before the word "people" means that there is a definite people in mind. And we know that this was not great joy to all the world, because we know what Herod did when he found out that Jesus had been born 2 years before, and the wise men didn't come and tell him where he was hiding out, I mean where he was living. Jesus wasn't hiding, but he was not in Bethlehem at the time. And so what did Herod do? He didn't know where he was, and he had heard that he was in Bethlehem. Of course, Jesus and Joseph and Mary were in Egypt at the time. So he killed everybody 2 years old and under. So Herod was not too happy that he came. Now, what does it mean about save? The word "saved." In Nehemiah 9, verse 27, we get some insight into what it means to be a savior. Did you know that Moses was a savior? Moses delivered the children of Israel. But here in Nehemiah 9, verse 27, "Therefore thou deliverest them into the hand of their enemies, who vex them. And in the time of their trouble, when they cried unto thee, thou heardest them from heaven. And according to thy manifold mercies, thou gavest them saviors," plural, "who saved them out of the hand of their enemies." So the word "saved" does not necessarily mean spiritual salvation. It has to do with being delivered from our enemies. In Luke chapter 20, verse 1, it says, "And it came to pass that on one of these days he taught the people, where? In the temple. And preached the gospel." And the gospel he preached was the gospel of the kingdom. "Repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." Notice where he taught the people. He taught them in the temple. There were no Gentiles in the temple. They weren't allowed. And there were no Samaritans there for sure either. So he was speaking to a particular people, the nation of Israel. And it says, "And he taught the people." In Matthew chapter 4, verse 23, "And Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues." And there is a reference to the people. "And preached the gospel of the kingdom, and healing all manner of sickness and all manner of disease among the people." The people. Jesus was in the synagogues. He was not going to the nation of Israel. In John chapter 18, verse 20, "Jesus answered him, I spake openly to the world, I ever taught in the synagogue and in the temple, whither the Jews always resort, and in secret have I said nothing." He may not have told them what everything he said was meant, but he wasn't hiding, he wasn't whispering to anyone. He was teaching in parables. But notice where he was teaching. He was teaching the people where they were, where they lived, where they worshiped. And in the synagogues and in the temple, they were worshiping the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. These were saved Jews living in the day when Jesus Christ came. In Matthew chapter 10, verses 5 through 7, "These 12 Jesus sent forth and commanded them, saying, Go not in the way of the Gentiles, and into any city of the Samaritans enter ye not, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel, and as you go, preach, saying, The kingdom of heaven is at hand." The message of the kingdom of heaven is at hand is to Israel at this time, and only unto Israel. It wasn't until Paul was arrested on the road to Damascus that this message, denied to Gentiles and Samaritans, was open to them. And the word lost here has to do with perishing sheep. Perishing sheep. In Matthew chapter 15, we see that he was sent only to save Israel. And said, "And behold, a woman of Canaan, came out of the same coast and cried unto him, saying, Have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with the devil. But he answered and said not a word. And his disciples came and besought him, saying, Get rid of her. I mean, send her away. That's what I mean. Would you get rid of this woman? She is a pest. For she crieth after us." Here's a woman seeking Jesus' help, and he ignores her. Why does he ignore her? She's a Gentile. He has no message for a Gentile. The plan of salvation is not his message to save Israel or to the Gentile woman. Notice what he says in verse 24. "But he answered and said, I am not sent..." Notice that God sent him. "I am not sent but unto the perishing sheep of the house of Israel." The message I have is not for the Gentiles. It's not for the Samaritans. It's only for Israel. And in further study, we find out it's only for Israel that have ears to hear. Okay? "Then came she and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. And he answered and said, It is not fit to take the children's bread and cast it to the dogs." It's not fit for me to minister to you. And she said, "True, Lord." She knew that. "Yet the little dogs, that's who get the crumbs." And when he heard that, he says, "Man, there is no faith like yours in Israel today." I didn't put that in here, but that's what he gave her credit for that. And he healed her daughter. But the point I want you to get here, I am not sent to the Gentiles. I'm only sent to Israel. I'm coming to my own. I'm coming to the people. And he is not coming to the people to tell them how to be saved, because that's inconsistent with the fact that Jesus Christ and God the Father made it possible for all of mankind to be saved. Otherwise, Jonah wasted his time going to Nineveh to preach. It was a waste of time. But you know what? God made sure he made that trip. A big fish. And little seaweed wrapped around his head. Anyway. So, Gentiles have always been able to be saved, but Gentiles have not always had the opportunity to enter the kingdom of heaven. They could see the kingdom, but they couldn't enter it. Let's continue. Matthew 1:21. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Notice the word saved is to deliver, to protect, to heal. Remember the woman who had an issue of blood? And she came and touched the hem of Jesus. And Jesus turned around and said, "Who touched me?" Or, you know, "Who touched me?" And he was in there being jostled around. And he knew that virtue had left him. And he said to the woman, "Thy faith hath made thee saved." It's a word, same word. And what was she being saved of? She was being delivered from the disease of the issue of blood. Remember when, let's just read it. Matthew chapter 14, verse 29 through 31. And he said, "Come." Jesus talking to Peter. There's a storm. Jesus is walking on the water. And the apostles are shaking in their boots. Here comes a spook walking on the water. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid and began to sink. And he cried, saying, "Lord, save me." And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, "O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt?" To me, this shows me that you don't get saved by faith. Because if you walk a long way, you know, walk a ways by faith, and you become afraid, and you begin to doubt, what happens? You sink. You lose what you had. And what did Peter have? He had the ability to walk on water. And as soon as his faith left, he sank. But I'm showing you here is an instance where the word saved is used, and Peter was not asking Jesus for the plan of salvation. He needed help, and he delivered Peter from drowning. And that happened many times in the boats when Jesus was sleeping. Jesus saved the apostles. But the key here is this. In this verse, Matthew 1:21, it says, "He shall save his people from their sins." Did you know that just getting saved does not save you from your sins? Just getting saved puts you in the family. But you know what? You can still live in sin. Sin can be in charge. And Jesus Christ is the deliverer of whom? His people. From what? From being in the bondage of sin. That's what this verse is talking about. He is delivering his people from the bondage of sin in their life. Well, I've kind of been skipping around and jumping ahead here a little bit because I've already referred to the woman who touched the hem of Jesus in Matthew 9:21 when he told her, when she touched his garment, "I shall be whole," or saved. Now, when I read this verse in Matthew 1:21, there's more in that verse than meets the eye. To be saved from my sin, something has to take place beyond the cross. What is it that has to take place beyond the cross? Salvation. Well, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 17. If Christ be not raised, your faith is vain, and ye are yet in your sins. You've got to have that verse, or you don't understand Matthew 1:21. Jesus Christ is our Savior. He is our deliverer from whom? The bondage of sin. And how does He do that? He does that being our high priest. If He is not our high priest, if He isn't raised from the dead, our faith is vain, empty. And we're still in bondage to sin. In Romans 4:25, who was delivered for our offenses? That's His crucifixion on the cross. And He was raised again for our justification. Let me tell you, if you're not delivered from the bondage of sin, you're not justified. And just being saved does not mean that you have victory over sin. If that was the case, that would eliminate 90% of the New Testament. Because 90% of the New Testament, I'm just using that as a broad, most of the New Testament, I'll put it that way, encourages those, the children of God, to live in a way that pleases God. And just being saved does not bring that about. Okay? In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 14 and 15, for the love of Christ constraineth us that we thus judge, if one died for all, then we're all dead. And that He died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto Him which died for them and rose again. It's through the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ that we can live a victorious life. John 3:3 speaks about the common salvation being born from above. Jesus answered and said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born from above. Again, it's not a good translation. He cannot see the kingdom. Paul told the Philippian jailer, this is the only place in the Bible where saved is in the question and saved is in the answer, and I'm glad this is the only place. Because you know what? There is no confusion over how to be saved. And the jailer brought them out and said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? And he said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved in thy house. That's just as simple as it can be. Now, being delivered from the bondage of sin, how does that take place? Well, Hebrews 9:22 says, and almost all things are by the law purged with blood. And without the shedding of blood is no remission. This is the Greek word aphesis. That word is also translated deliverance or liberty. Without the shedding of blood, there's no liberty. There's no deliverance. There's no salvation of the child of God from his sin. The shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ happened after he died on the cross. The blood of the Lord Jesus Christ is on the mercy seat in the heavenlies. For whom? For the saved, not the lost. In Revelation 1:5, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness and the first begotten of the dead and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us, and it says, and washed us from our sins in his own blood. The word washed should be translated released. If you read the NASB, it says released. And it's just the word loosed. We are released from our sins by His blood. We are delivered from the bondage of sin by the blood of Jesus Christ and not by His death. His death puts us in the family. His blood releases us from the bondage of sin. In Colossians 1, 12 through 13, and with this we'll close, giving thanks unto the Father who hath made us fit to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. Notice that this is talking about an inheritance of the saints that have light, that are not in darkness, that are living a life that is pleasing to Him. who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son, in whom we have redemption through His blood. Redemption is a misunderstood term. When you read about redemption in the Bible, it has nothing to do with the lost. Redemption has to do with the saved that are in bondage. All you have to do is read the book of Ruth. Ruth was in bondage to poverty, to her mother-in-law. Boaz redeemed her. And what did she get? She got her inheritance. Whose inheritance? The inheritance of her dead husband through Boaz. In whom we have redemption through His blood, even the remission of sins. So, I hope that when you read Matthew 1:21, you have an appreciation of being delivered from your sins. How are we delivered from our sins? It's through the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's through His resurrection that made it possible for that blood to work on our behalf. Because if Christ be not raised from the dead, our faith is vain and we are still in bondage to sin, even though we can be saved. Let me tell you, I believe with all my heart when Jesus Christ died on the cross, that was sufficient to save every man, woman, child born on the earth. But God wanted more for His children. He wanted us to live victoriously. And He wants to save us from our sinfulness, that we might live a pleasing life to Him. Father, I just pray that You'd bless these thoughts to our hearts. May we rejoice in the fact that You not only provided a way for us to be in Your family through Your death on the cross, but through Your shed blood, we have a means to be delivered from our sins. And we thank You, Father, for raising Jesus Christ from the dead, that it might be possible. Bless the message to each of our hearts, we pray, in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.